Chapter 15. I know that the Slopperton and Squashtail property had been the source of a very pretty income to Messrs. Hodge and Smithers, for Aunt was always at law with her tenants, and paid dearly for her litigious spirit, so that Mr. Smithers' concern regarding the sale of it did not seem to me to be quite disinterested. And did you come to London, Mr. Smithers, expressly to acquaint me with this fact? It seems to me, you had much better have obeyed my aunt's instructions at once, or go to her at Fulham, and consult with her on this subject. Steve, Mr. Titmarsh, don't you see that, if she makes a sale of her property, she will hand over the money to Bro, and if Bro gets the money he will give her 7%. For it instead of 3, there's no harm in that. But there's such a thing as security, look you. He is a warm man, certainly very warm, quite respectable, most undoubtedly respectable. But who knows? A panic may take place, and then these 500 companies in which he is engaged may bring him to ruin. There's the Ginger Beer Company, of which Bro is a director. Awkward reports are abroad concerning it. The Consolidated Baffin's Bay Muff and Tippett Company, the shares are down very low, and Bro is a director there. The Patent Pump Company shares at 65 and a fresh call, which nobody will pay. Nonsense, Mr. Smithers. Has not Mr. Bro £500,000 worth of shares in the Independent West Didlisex, and is that at a discount? Who recommended my aunt to invest her money in that speculation, I should like to know. I had him there. Well, well, it is a very good speculation, certainly, and has brought you $300 a year, Sam my boy, and you may thank us for the interest we took in you indeed. We loved you as a son, and Miss Hodge has not recovered a certain marriage yet. You don't intend to rebuke us for making your fortune, do you? No, hang it, no, says I, and shook hands with him, and accepted a glass of sherry and biscuits, which he ordered forthwith. Smithers returned, however, to the charge. Am, he said, mark my words, and take your aunt away from the rookery. She wrote to Mrs. S. a long account of a reverend gent with whom she walks out there, the Reverend Grimes Wapshot. That man has an eye upon her. He was tried at Lancaster in the year 14 for forgery, and narrowly escaped with his neck. Have a care of him, he has an eye to her money. Nay, said I, taking out Mrs. Haggarty's letter, eat for yourself. He read it over very carefully, seemed to be amused by it, and as he returned it to me, well, Sam, he said, I have only two favors to ask of you. One is, not to mention, that I am in town to any living soul, and the other is to give me a dinner in Lamb's Conduit Street with your pretty wife. I promise you both gladly, I said, laughing. But if you dine with us, your arrival in town must be known, for my friend Gus Hoskins dines with us likewise, and has done so nearly every day since my aunt went. He laughed too, and said, we must swear, Gus, to secrecy over a bottle. And so we parted till dinner time. The indefatigable lawyer pursued his attack after dinner, and was supported by Gus, and by my wife too, who certainly was disinterested in the matter more than disinterested, for she would have given a great deal to be spared my aunt's company. But she said she saw the force of Mr. Smithers' arguments, and I admitted their justice with a sigh. However, I rode my high horse, and vowed that my aunt should do what she liked with her money, and that I was not the man who would influence her in any way in the disposal of it. After tea, the two gents walked away together, and Gus told me that Smithers had asked him 1,000 questions about the office, about Bro, about me and my wife, and everything concerning us. You are a lucky fellow, Mr. Hoskins, and seem to be the friend of this charming young couple, said Smithers. And Gus confessed he was, and said he had dined with us 15 times in 6 weeks, and that a better and more hospitable fellow than I did not exist. This I state not to trumpet my own praises, no, no, but because these questions of Smithers had a good deal to do with the subsequent events narrated in this little history. being seated at dinner the next day off the cold leg of mutton that Smithers had admired so the day before, and Gus as usual having his legs under our mahogany, a hackney coach drove up to the door, which we did not much heed. A step was heard on the floor, which we hoped might be for the two-pair lodger, when who should burst into the room but Mrs. Haggerty herself. Gus, who was blowing the froth off a pot of porter preparatory to a delicious drink of the beverage, and had been making us die of laughing with his stories and jokes, laid down the pewter pot as Mrs. H. came in, and looked quite sick and pale. Indeed, we all felt a little uneasy. My aunt looked haughtily in Mary's face, then fiercely at Gus, and saying, "It is too true, my poor boy, already," flung herself hysterically into my arms, and swore, almost choking, that she would never, never leave me. I could not understand the meaning of this extraordinary agitation on Mrs. Haggerty's part, nor could any of us. She refused Mary's hand, when the poor thing rather nervously offered it, and when Gus timidly said, "I think, Sam, I'm rather in the way here, and perhaps had better go," Mrs. H. looked him full in the face, pointed to the door majestically with her forefinger, and said, "I think, sir, you had better go." "I hope Mr. Hoskins will stay as long as he pleases," said my wife, with spirit. "Of course you hope so, madam," answered Mrs. Haggerty, very sarcastic. But Mary's speech and my aunt's were quite lost upon Gus, for he had instantly run to his hat, and I heard him tumbling downstairs. The quarrel ended, as usual, by Mary's bursting into a fit of tears, and by my aunt's repeating the assertion that it was not too late, she trusted, and from that day forth she would never, never leave me. What could have made aunt return and be so angry? Said I to Mary that night, as we were in our own room, but my wife protested she did not know. And it was only some time after that I found out the reason of this quarrel and of Mrs. H. apostrophe's sudden reappearance. The horrible fat coarse little Smithers told me the matter as a very good joke, only the other year, when he showed me the letter of Hickson, Dixon, Paxton, and Jackson, which has before been quoted in my memoirs. "Sam, my boy," said he, "you were determined to leave Mrs. Haggerty in Bro's clutches at the rookery, and I was determined to have her away. I resolved to kill two of your mortal enemies with one stone, as it were. It was quite clear to me that the Reverend Grimes Wapshot had an eye to your aunt's fortune, and that Mr. Bro had similar predatory intentions regarding her. Predatory is a mild word, Sam. If I had said robbery at once, I should express my meaning clearer. Well, I took the Fulham stage, and arriving, made straight for the lodgings of the reverend gentleman. Sir, apostrophe said I, on finding that worthy gent, he was drinking warm brandy and water, Sam, at 2 o'clock in the day, or at least the room smelt very strongly of that beverage, sir, apostrophe says I, you were tried for forgery in the year 14 at Lancaster Assizes, apostrophe, and acquitted, sir. My innocence was by providence made clear, apostrophe said Wapshot. But you were not acquitted of embezzlement in 16, sir, apostrophe says I, and passed 2 years in York gaol in consequence. Apostrophe, I knew the fellow's history, for I had a writ out against him when he was a preacher at Clifton. I followed up my blow. Apostrophe, Mr. Wapshot, apostrophe said I, you are making love to an excellent lady now at the house of Mr. Bro. If you do not promise to give up all pursuit of her, I will expose you. Apostrophe, I have promised, apostrophe said Wapshot, rather surprised, and looking more easy. I have given my solemn promise to Mr. Bro, who was with me this very morning, storming, and scolding, and swearing. Oh, sir, it would have frightened you to hear a Christian babe like him swear as he did. Apostrophe, Mr. Bro been here? Apostrophe, says I, rather astonished. Yes, I suppose you are both here on the same scent, apostrophe says Wapshot. You want to marry the widow with the Slopperton and Squashtail estate, do you? Well, have your way. I've promised not to have anything more to do with the widow, and the Wapshot's honor is sacred. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I suppose, sir, apostrophe, says I, apostrophe, Mr. Bro has threatened to kick you out of doors if you call again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have been with him, I see, apostrophe, says the reverend gent, with a shrug. Then I remembered what you had told me of the broken seal of your letter, and have not the slightest doubt that Bro opened and read every word of it. Well, the first bird was bagged. Both I and Bro had had a shot at him. Now I had to fire at the whole rookery, and off I went, primed and loaded, sir, primed and loaded. It was past 8 when I arrived, and I saw, after I passed the lodge gates, a figure that I knew, walking in the shrubbery, that of your respected aunt, sir. But I wished to meet the amiable ladies of the house, before I saw her, because look, friend Titmarsh, I saw by Mrs. Haggarty's letter that she and they were at daggers drawn, and hoped to get her out of the house at once by means of a quarrel with them. I laughed, and owned that Mr. Smithers was a very cunning fellow. As luck would have it, continued he, Miss Bro was in the drawing room twangling on a guitar, and singing most atrociously out of tune. But as I entered at the door, I cried hush, apostrophe apostrophe to the footman, as loud as possible, stood stock still, and then walked forward on tiptoe lightly. Miss B could see in the glass every movement that I made. She pretended not to see, however, and finished the song with a regular roulade. Gracious heaven! Apostrophe apostrophe said I, do, madam, pardon me for interrupting that delicious harmony, for coming unaware upon it, for daring uninvited to listen to it. Apostrophe apostrophe, do you come for mama, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Bro, with as much graciousness as her physiognomy could command. I am Miss Bro, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe, I wish, madam, you would let me not breathe a word regarding my business until you have sung another charming strain. Apostrophe apostrophe, she did not sing, but looked pleased, and said, La, sir, what is your business? Apostrophe apostrophe, my business is with a lady, your respected father's guest in this house. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, Mrs. Haggarty. Apostrophe apostrophe, says Miss Bro, flouncing towards the bell and ringing it. John, send to Mrs. Haggarty in the shrubbery. Here is a gentleman who wants to see her. Apostrophe apostrophe, I know, apostrophe continued I, apostrophe Mrs. Haggarty's peculiarities as well as anyone, madam, and aware that those and her education are not such as to make her a fit companion for you. I know you do not like her. As he has written to us in Somersetshire, that you do not like her. Apostrophe apostrophe, what, as he has been abusing us to her friends, has she? Apostrophe cried Miss Bro, it was the very point I wished to insinuate. If she does not like us, why does she not leave us? Apostrophe apostrophe, she has made rather a long visit, apostrophe said I, and I am sure that her nephew and niece are longing for her return. Pray, madam, do not move, for you may aid me in the object for which I come. Apostrophe apostrophe, the object for which I came, sir, was to establish a regular battle royal between the two ladies, at the end of which I intended to appeal to Mrs. Haggarty, and say that she ought really no longer to stay in a house with the members, of which as he had such unhappy differences. Well, sir, the battle royal was fought, Miss Belinda opening the fire, by saying she understood Mrs. Haggarty had been calumniating her to her friends. But though at the end of it Miss rushed out of the room in a rage, and vowed she would leave her home, unless that odious woman left it, your dear aunt said, ha, ha, I know the minx's vile stratagems, but, thank heaven, I have a good heart, and my religion enables me to forgive her. I shall not leave her excellent papa's house, or vex by my departure that worthy admirable man. Apostrophe apostrophe, I then tried Mrs. H on the score of compassion. Your niece, apostrophe said I, apostrophe Mrs. Titmarsh, madam, has been of late, Sam says, rather poorly, Squamish of mornings, madam, a little nervous, and low in spirits, symptoms, madam, that are scarcely to be mistaken in a young married person. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mrs. Hegarty said as he had an admirable cordial, that she would send Mrs. Samuel Titmarsh, and she was perfectly certain it would do her good. With very great unwillingness I was obliged now, to bring my last reserve into the field, and may tell you what that was, Sam my boy, now that the matter is so long past. Madam, apostrophe said I, there's a matter about which I must speak, though indeed I scarcely dare. I dined with your nephew yesterday, and met at his table a young man of low manners, but evidently one who has blinded your nephew, and I too much fear has succeeded in making an impression upon your niece. His name is Hoskins, madam, and when I state that he who was never in the house during your presence there, has dined with your two confiding nephews 16 times in 3 weeks, I may leave you to imagine what I dare not imagine myself. Apostrophe apostrophe, the shot told. Your aunt bounced up at once, and in 10 minutes more was in my carriage, on our way back to London. There, sir, was not that generalship? And you played this pretty trick off at my wife's expense, Mr. Smithers, said I, at your wife's expense, certainly, but for the benefit of both of you. It's lucky, sir, that you are an old man, I replied, and that the affair happened 10 years ago, or, by the Lord, Mr. Smithers, I would have given you such a horsewhipping as you never heard of. But this was the way in which Mrs. Hegarty was brought back to her relatives, and this was the reason why we took that house in Bernard Street, the doings at which must now be described. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.